Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Welcome to Secondary Fermentation, episode number 83.
It's just you and me.
For 83.
Well.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
As of the recording of this episode.
Yeah. How many rhymes can we come with? But yes, it's just Nick and myself today. Elsie's skipping her duty once again.
Yeah.
Goofing off at work.
She said she had to do this thing called work. She had a job to do.
She said, why don't you guys get off your butts and actually do something productive with life?
And here we are drinking beer at like 11 a.m.
We gotta find a way to make money off this. Simply too good. Oh, man. Speaking of things we're not making money off, welcome to the podcast. We're here. It's like Nick said, it's Sunday. It's 11 a.m. We're just ready to get at it. Sunday fun day, we could say.
One could say.
We've got a couple cans of our favorite malted carbonated beverage sitting straight in front of us. One is yellow. One is black. They have two things in common. Their beer, number one. And number two, they come from Lowe's Foods.
Lowe's Foods grocery store.
Yes, they are Lowe's Foods, their beer den. They've got a selection of taps, but they also apparently make their own beer, which was news to me. Nicholas has enlightened me.
And me. Yeah, we got a Lowe's Foods here in Winterville, North Carolina by us, and they opened up recently and they've got the beer den if you've ever been to a Lowe's Food. So we've been kind of going there. They've got a great beer selection, but when I was getting a mix and match six pack, I saw a couple cans that were branded the Beer Den, which is the name of the place where you can go get a beer while you shop. And I was like, that's really interesting. And I looked and it's like brewed for the Beer Den at Lowe's Food. So
nice.
You know, you sometimes see places, do their own, their quote unquote beer at like a grocery store, but normally it's, you know, like contract brewed or something. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting to see them actually have their own. So grabbed a couple, thought we would just learn about the beers together.
Yeah.
This first one I think will be a nice starter. This is their Kolsch style ale with lemon and lime added. So a zesty Kolsch. This is called,
it's like Kolschy 7-Up.
It's like a Kolsch Radler almost. Yeah. Or a Shandy. So we're going to crack Juno, coming in at 5%.
Cracking of a beer. You know, speaking of Kolsches, got one, fermenting away right now in the closet.
That's not, you do actually.
You know,
I'm excited to see how that turns out.
The first beer brewed in quite a moment here in our household. It's been since we've moved into our new house, which has been over a year. But we brewed it up. Baby's having his first birthday, so we figured, hey, for the birthday party, might as well brew up a beer so everybody can be disgusted all at once.
Well, when do you think it'll be done fermenting? Do you have like a little bit of time before the party?
Yeah, it slowed down actually quite a bit. I was going to check the gravity either today or tomorrow and see if it's kind of done fermenting. And then if so, I got some stuff actually to try to up my game a little bit and do some pressure transfers so that way I can try to really do a low oxygen environment, because I think that's one of the places that I've gone bad before, transferring it to the keg or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's tough.
Tough to keep that air out. But
yeah.
Ordered some things off Amazon, watched a couple videos. Short Circuited Brewer has a good video on some stuff where you kind of take a racking cane, put it in the carboy cap, and then you can actually buy a carbonation cap, which is like a gas line for a keg. With a little barbed fitting on it, so you can just kind of stick it into the carboy cap and use that. It's kind of a cool little thing. So we'll see how it works, if I'm going to blow the beer up or, anything, but we'll see.
Yeah, nothing like a little bit of a science experiment while you're making beer.
Yeah. And this Kolsch here, speaking of beer, looking nice and like a pale golden yellow.
Yeah. Yeah, nice and crispy looking.
Yeah.
Got a pillowy, fluffy little white head that's kind of hanging around, leaving a tiny bit of lace on the glass.
always visually appealing when you can see the bubbles rising up through the beer.
Mm-hmm. And not rising from like a singular point of scum or dirt on your glass.
Yes, exactly.
But it's just kind of rising through the entire body of the beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's... it reminds me of those things. You ever see like those old Christmas tree like lights that have like the bubbling things in them? You know what I'm talking about? Kind of reminds me of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I'm picturing what you're picturing, but...
Lauren didn't know what I talked about when we were talking about Christmas. I just remember my grandparents had them way back in the day.
Christmas lights.
Christmas. This is actually quite good.
Yeah.
Like, pretty easy to... It's good for 11 a.m. on a Sunday, I'll say.
It's a good little brekkie beer. Mm-hmm. Definitely getting a lot of the citrus notes on the nose.
For sure.
That lime is coming through, and then I took my first sip. I really couldn't wait. I was thirsty. And it was, definitely a nice, effervescent, kind of mildly crisp beer. And then you get some of those lemon, lime, kind of tart vibes in there. But it's overall really smooth and palatable beer.
Yeah. Did you say who contracted it or who made it?
Yeah. So initially, I did a little bit of research on this, because I was shocked to think that Lowe's actually made their own beer. So they actually have a facility. Lowe's Foods has the cavern at Lowe's Foods, which is in, I believe, South Carolina. So they actually do have brewing equipment on site there, and they do more like small batch limited release beers there.
Huh.
But for their like main production, they do contract brew with Foothills Brewing, which is Winston-Salem here in North Carolina. So...
Nice.
Yeah, on the can it actually does mention that they are brewed by Foothills for Lowe's Foods. But yeah, they're part of the Independent Craft Brewing Association, I guess, because of that. But it'd be really interesting to try some of their actually brewed beers on at the cavern. I don't know if they'll ever like ship those or distribute them. I think maybe they're kind of exclusive to
that spot,
that facility. But I could see them maybe doing like a keg of it and sending those to stores to try on tap, because the beer den has like 15 or 16 draft lines.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be kind of cool. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. But overall, a really neat place just inside of a grocery store. I'm really impressed with the beer selection. Like, they have a lot of local North Carolina breweries that like we just don't see a ton. I think maybe they have, you know, a wider distribution network so they can get in things from way out west that maybe other places in Greenville or Winterville can't.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's pretty crazy. And we'll talk more about that later as a little foreshadowing.
Foreshadow.
Let's talk about a little beer news.
Let's do a little five-shadowing.
Let's do a little five-shadowing. Yeah, not four. You know, I saw this pop up the other day. June 4th was the 50th anniversary of the infamous 10-cent beer night riot at the Cleveland Indians, now known as the Cleveland Guardians, game back on June 4th against the 1974 against the Texas Rangers. 10-cent beers. What a crazy
what an idea
discount. So that promotion for the 10-cent beers moved up for inflation today is equivalent to about 62 cents. So still insanely cheap for a beer. It's funny because the regular price of the beer actually then was 65 cents, which is equivalent to $4.02 in 2023 dollars. So pretty crazy because even then it was very reasonably priced. Like $4 beer at a sporting event. Now you're lucky to get away with what, like 10, 12, I don't even know.
Yeah.
$15.
Yeah, I mean, at a major event for sure, it's going to run you pretty high. We've got some of the local kind of like minor league sports teams here. We've got
it's like $30 a beer. No, even.
Yeah, in Kinston, they actually have a minor league team currently who's going to relocate in the next year or so. But the Down East Wood Ducks, they have a promotional night. I think it's maybe on Thursdays or Fridays where they have like discounted Mother Earth beer. So it's like, it's actually ends up being cheaper or the same cost as like domestic beer.
Nice.
So like, why would you get a Budweiser when you could go get a craft ale or a craft lager? I mean, I teach their own. Some people that's kind of their bread and butter is, you know, just getting a
Give me
a butt heavy at the baseball game. So yeah. I don't ever want to knock anybody, but like when the prices are similar,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the argument, then it comes down to taste or quality. Yeah. So.
Well, but, if you're a fan of soccer and you live in the Greenville, North Carolina area, the Greenville United Football mm-hmm. Club, the Bucks, Pitt Street Brewing Company, which is one of the breweries in town, sets up their van and pours some beers, and they're only like $5, six yeah. bucks, just normal prices. So
just normal prices.
It's nice. But anyway, this riot, crazy cheap beer, you know, alcohol fueled riot. Basically, a lot of stuff happened. Somebody ran out of the field, tried to rip somebody's hat off. One of the players
rip his hat off.
Take his hat. He fell. The fans thought he like was attacking him. The teams thought the player was getting attacked, so they ran out with like bats and stuff. And then the fans dismantled the chairs, had chains and knives and clubs made out of the dismantled seats, and were like surrounding the baseball team. So then the Cleveland team ran out and was trying to help with bats and stuff. And it just was apparently a wild and crazy scene.
Yeah, I was reading this Washington Post article about it, and they were letting people get six beers at a time, which also not a great idea.
60 cents. Yeah. Can I get 10 for a dollar?
Yeah, at that point, you might as well just keep a dollar. I'll come back for the other four.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just wild. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, just an alcohol-induced rage, especially once things start getting out of control, everyone else in that stadium probably just, you know, went haywire. One of the weird things to me is the items that people will have at a baseball game to throw out on the field. It's almost like it's planned. Like, I might bring golf balls, or like they said they were throwing batteries, which is a thing in Philly too, apparently. Like, that
really?
Was a big deal. I'm a New York Giants fan, so I know this story a little more than some, but like Eli Manning has talked multiple times about going out into the Philadelphia Eagles stadium and fans just pelting, like throwing batteries. It's like the thing they were known for. And I was like, who's bringing batteries? Also, yeah. That's like, batteries are not cheap.
No, yeah.
I guess they're dead batteries, but yeah. Still, like, what are you doing?
Get charged with assault and battery.
They're throwing salt shakers and battery. Oh, no.
Oh, man. But yeah, crazy alcohol-fueled riot. It's funny, there's a quote here on Wikipedia from one of the umpires saying the fans were uncontrollable beasts and that he'd never seen anything like it except in a zoo. It's like, what? Why are you seeing riots in a zoo?
Yeah, also, oh no, the silverbacks are rioting.
Yeah, for real. So
yeah, really neat. I'd never heard of that story until Joe shared it. So yeah. There's a lot more information you can check out. It's I mean, in some ways, it's kind of like amusing to read about, but also I can imagine it being a little bit scary in the moment.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Just like the stands clearing and like people brandishing weapons out of chairs and other things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think the 25 players on the team versus the entire crowd.
Right. Well, even just like they have bats.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, just wild. But yeah, that's a fun little snippet. If you want to learn more, read about it. Other beer news, I'm sure if you're on social media, you've seen Pabst with their newest publicity stunt, releasing a 180 pack of beer. And is that for their 180th anniversary or something like that?
Yeah. But well, yeah. What's funny is like, I do remember them doing that like 99 pack.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I guess, back in 2019. So yeah, you called it a publicity stunt. One might say a Pabst publicity stunt, but yeah, like they're known for doing this kind of wildly large packs, which is a great marketing ploy, because if you see some dude bro or even just like somebody wants to have a good time and like go get a 99
pack of
beer, yeah. Which is like 7 feet long. I don't know how you even get that in your car.
Yeah, exactly. How do you transport
it? You got to have a truck bed for sure. But
yeah, but who can forget the 1776 pack? And then the 1844 pack in... basically honoring the founding year. It said only a few hundred of those packs were sold, but still, I guess there's only 2,500 of these 180 packs, which is just absolutely insane. Like, why would it's $95 for 180 beers, so $2 a PBR almost.
I mean, price-wise, it's not bad.
Yeah.
You have to really like Pabst, though, or have a lot of friends that like Pabst.
And have a large fridge. Yeah. In a way that, like, a pallet jack to move stuff around. I don't know how you would do that.
Well, the 180-pack looks like the size of a miniature fridge.
It does.
I mean, it's huge. It's probably taller than most mini fridges, but...
Jeez, yeah. That's just a lot of beer. It's crazy.
Yeah. What will they think of next?
What will... In other beer news, speaking of Blue Ribbon, a thing I just learned just now looking this up, there's some news that Peroni Production, who is actually owned by Miller Coors, is Peroni's Nestro Azzurro, which means Peroni Blue Ribbon, so Italian PBR, is moving some production to the United States in Albany, Georgia, to be specific. So very interesting. And they said they're moving their NA sales there too, right?
Yeah, the NA sales are going to stay at their site in Italy. Okay. So, yeah, we don't want any of that NA Peroni over here.
Yeah, and I cannot believe that. I mean, I just learned that it's Italian PBR, like 100%.
That's so funny.
Nestro Azzurro. So Peroni also once won a Blue Ribbon and named their beer after it forever. Yeah. So,
you know what's funny is I feel like it's been a while now that there's been a push to get more U.S. distribution of Peroni. Do you remember when we were at the Raleigh Beer Garden?
Yeah.
And we were just there for some pre-concert beers, yeah. I think. And then there was a distribution rep there that was like giving out free samples of Peroni and then slices of pizza. And then we got a glass, a Peroni Pilsner glass. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, it was like pizza. Yeah. Pizza, Peronis, and glasses. Pints.
Nothing's actually a pint, I guess. But
Pilsner glasses. Pilsner glasses. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
But I was like, oh, yeah. And they were like just trying to get more recognition, get that name out there. I mean, I guess ever since then, I've always had Peroni on my radar. They made a good impression. I mean, pizza is a good way to leave a lasting impression with me. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I always knew about Peroni, but more of the pep variety.
Peroni.
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni. Yeah, I'm so mad. It
dad
took
jokes.
Me a second to get that one.
Oh man, but yeah, so it won't be so Italian anymore. It'll be Southern
Italiano.
You know, nothing like your biscuits and gravy with a Peroni.
I mean, well, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it probably would be good. Honestly, yeah.
It would make so much more sense if they were able to produce that somewhere like in New York. You know, where there's a lot of Italian heritage. I think that would just would fit nicely there. Having it in the South is just kind of interesting because, you know, the South is super known for being tolerant of other nations and cultures. So,
oh man, yeah, exactly. But, gosh.
Well, we do have one more beer done beer, which maybe we could crack that and get into
our topic.
The topic of the day.
Segue us nicely, and you know, as we were thinking about topics to do. You know, Nick mentioned that he got some beers from the grocery store, the Beer Den beers made by the grocery store. And I was like, you know, we've kind of talked about like accessible beers and maybe grocery store beers, like what you can buy at the grocery store. But I was like, let's make it a topic. Let's figure it out. So yeah,
there's a lot. I mean, there's really a lot of grocery stores that are trying to get their claim to fame in craft beer now, which is pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So this next one we've got here from the Beer Den is Robin Hood. This is an amber lager coming in at 5.6%. They actually have a neat little story on every can too, or like a little narrative. This one, I didn't read the one for Juno, but this one says, "Ah, but remember, faint hearts never won fair lady, and faint beer doesn't either. Robin Hood is easy drinking with a malty backbone and a crisp hop finish. Gather your merry men and women and enjoy this medium-bodied lager with toasty, caramel-like malt flavors." I like that. That's like an extra little thing that places don't have to do, but when they do, I appreciate the little kind of like narrative of the beer.
Yeah.
Like you get an idea kind of going in what you're going to be expecting.
A little pizzazz. Ooh, that was a good crack in the headphones.
Yeah, they definitely have some hoppy beers. They've got these malt-forward beers. They've got some other European styles like the Kolsch. So really a wide selection from what I saw. I grabbed a couple, and if this one as well is as good as the last one, I might have to go back and get some others.
Yeah. Delightful. Right off the bat, lives up to its name. Amber colored, nicely clear. Again, get that beautiful bubbling effect. Got a decent amount of head in the glass. Some looser bubbles. But, I mean, looks like a good beer. Looks solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely has a bready, malty aroma.
Mix with a little earthy hop, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the nice thing about like an amber is I feel it does a good job of balancing hop and malt character typically if it's brewed well.
Yeah.
So
that's why I'm looking for like a nice bitter finish on this. I feel like it'll give. Whereas the last one, heavy on the citrus, smooth, easy drinking. This one I wanted a nice little bitter bite. Let's see.
I want it to bite.
So it starts out super sweet.
Yeah.
Like that sweet malt. This actually reminds me of kind of like an Oktoberfest style.
It is. It's very close to like a Oktoberfest beer because it has like that kind of bready caramel flavor up front.
Finished by some like earthy, you know, little herbal hops and some
kind of rounding it out.
Like back end bitterness. So I think it kind of cuts the sweetness nicely at the end.
Yeah. Otherwise, it could be a little too sweet for my taste, but
yeah, I think that's the one complaint I have about this. If I had a complaint, would say it just starts off a little too sweet. Like that first sip is like sweet wort almost.
Yeah. Yeah, luckily there is enough hop character coming back. Retronasal and a little bit on the back end, you get some of that hop character to kind of wash away the sweetness, but I mean, yeah, for an amber, I've had some ambers that were sweeter than this too. So I think pretty well brewed. And
yeah, I'd drink this.
Yeah, definitely. I think overall the two beers that we got, the Juno and the Robin Hood, are both well done. And like, I would drink them again. Now, I mean, I'm also kind of out always looking for new stuff to try. So
yeah,
it's not often that I'm going to repeat these, but like, if they sold this in a six pack and I just needed like a, you know, like the Kolsch with the lime and the lemon, I think I could like a six pack of that and just have that for, again, like a Sunday brunch or something light to kind of start the day off if you're drinking a little bit early.
Be a good pool beer too, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely.
This one is more like a crisp autumn eve.
Yeah, it is. That was really kind of spot on, the comparison to like a Märzen. It really is dancing pretty close to that for me, which I love Märzen, so not going to complain about that, but I think, you know, Märzens typically aren't very sweet compared to this one, just being a touch of that kind of like caramel or honey sweetness.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty solid. And as we mentioned, you know, we'll be talking about grocery store beer stuff this episode, I guess is the best way to say. Really, the way we're going to break it down is we found some lists. We love, you know, who doesn't love a good list episode? But we found some lists about talking about grocery stores that have ranked to be the have the best beer selection. Then we'll talk a little bit about an article that actually polled some brewers and owners of big breweries that asked what's their favorite like go to grocery store beer, so like a widely accessible beer you'd find in the grocery store. And then just a little, you know, foray into the stores that offer on-site consumption options, which is kind of a unique thing and makes your grocery store trip so much better. But, you know, not every place has it and from laws and things. But let's start off with the stores with the best selection. So this is an article from tastingtable.com. You know, I had not a lot of difficulty, but a little bit of a challenge finding like a decent article on this topic, and this was like one of the main ones that came up. But number 17, coming in with Aldi.
That was honestly, before even looking at a list, I was thinking, like, yes, maybe it's because of the locale here. We've got two different Aldi locations, but their pricing, I think, is one of the reasons I'd put them high on a list.
Yeah.
Or they'd make my list just because pricing, and then they do have like an availability of some craft offerings, but typically not like big names. Like there's a,
yeah,
I think I've seen a couple of times where they've got at least for our store, some North Carolina breweries, mm-hmm. but it's more of like what I would call off-brand craft beer.
Yeah, it really is. It's thing. Like just random craft things. You're like, is this really craft
yeah.
beer?
Like there's one that looks like it's supposed to be a Blue Moon knockoff at.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's there or maybe it's at Lidl, which is another kind of like
value
grocery store.
Yeah, I think
store,
I know what you're talking about.
But it's like they try to make it look similar to the brand of another craft beer, which I'm like, okay, I mean, I'm not above doing knockoffs things or like having like discounted items. And truthfully, a lot of times they are the same virtually. It's just under different packaging. But
yeah, exactly. Different labels and names. But
yeah, Aldi definitely is a good one.
Yeah.
If you've got one.
Next, I got Winn-Dixie. I can't really speak from too much Winn-Dixie experience. I don't know what they've got. Do you know?
No. The only thing I know about Winn-Dixie was when I was in grade school, we had to read the book Because of Winn-Dixie, which is about a girl and a stray dog she found, and she named the dog Winn-Dixie,
yeah.
which was after the grocery chain. I've never been to one, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, I guess it says they have 546 stores, so not a ton of locations. So it's kind of going to be more, it looks like it's maybe in the Florida area, so maybe Matt Griffo, if he's listening, knows about Winn-Dixie.
Yeah. Number 15 on this list, Trader Joe's, TJ's, something that we're actually getting in Greenville. I feel like we're becoming a legit city now if we get one of those, but everybody knows about Trader Joe's. They've got a decent, I wouldn't say it's like going to Trader Joe's for their beer selection. I mean, the one in Raleigh, I mean, the footprint's kind of limited, so maybe that's it, but they've got like a little aisle dedicated to it. They do have some craft. They also have some... are they made by Trader Joe's? Or... I've had one before. It was like Boson Porter or something like that. It was not very good.
They have their own branded brews, which is, again, kind of like with Lowe's Foods here, where it's branded by them. I'm not sure if Trader Joe's actually brews their own. If it's like... A lot of these are going to be like contract brews, which I think what's unique about Lowe's Foods so far is that they kind of do both. And I think a lot of places like a Trader Joe's that have their own branded beers, they're contracted out.
Yeah, and it says the beers they offer are Trader Jose, Boson, and Joseph's Brow. But, you know, I wouldn't really ever say, like, I'm going to go to Trader Joe's for the beer selection. But
yeah,
I could see it being a little better than Aldi.
So according to Reddit, actually, Trader Joe's beer that's under their branding is made by Gordon Biersch.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Which, isn't there a location in Myrtle Beach of Gordon Biersch?
Probably. It's almost like a chainy kind of a thing now.
Yeah, I think we went there because it was like a restaurant.
Yes, it's like a restaurant in
yes, Peru. There is one in Myrtle Beach. Gordon Biersch. We went there. I think I had fish and chips there and then a Big Stein. So,
oh, you have fish and chips,
fish
right?
And chips.
Oh, you have fish and chips.
Which actually, I think this amber ale would go great with the fish and chips.
I think so too. That would be a nice flavor contrast.
I just really want fish and chips. it's going to be the trend here. I think a lot of places that maybe have their own, you know, like Trader Joe's brand beer, but they don't have the equipment and they're not going to invest in the operations to make it all, but they can pay another place to do it and kind of, it's almost like ghostwriting to me.
Yeah, it really is. Like, we're just going to sponsor you.
But there, at least, you know, that there's transparency there. Whereas like some rappers that are accused of ghostwriting, they purposely try to deceive you and, and not.
It was all me.
Yeah, I did it. I wrote this all. Yeah. Yeah. And actually the next one up was a surprise to me was Target at number 14 on this list.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Target's got a good beer selection.
It's like mostly domestic beer and like they have wine, but I'm like trying to think if they have anything local. I think it's probably some of the bigger North Carolina breweries,
oh, for sure.
But like, also it's mostly like New Belgium or Sierra Nevada, which are more commercially available anyway. So
yeah, I'd say I probably would put this like lower than the other ones on the list.
Yeah. They're not even like, I don't think they're trying very hard.
Number 13, Walmart.
Yeah. And I was going to say same thing. Like, yes, affordability and everything there, but I've been through a Walmart beer aisle, and again, it's pretty heavily favored for domestic and like just big brand
macro. What you would expect to find at a Walmart.
Sure. Like it's
that's what I would expect. It'd be like, okay, this is what I would picture if I'm going to Walmart to get beer.
Yeah. Which and again, I think when you talk about like grocery stores or stores that are having in like craft beer, I think a good majority of those are probably, if I had to guess, would be if they are microbreweries. It's those that have been acquired by macro brands and now are like sold under that umbrella. So
just all of them, they're just occupying all the shelf space under different names. Yeah, basically what it is.
And you think like, oh wow, this is all these like craft brands, but it's like, well, they're not independent anymore. They, you know, have a parent company that's kind of pulling the strings. But you know, it's if you want something craft available, like you can get these. And sometimes it's just easier, like if you're going to Walmart or Target anyway for a grocery run, or you have to pick up a few things and you're like, well, I don't want to make a separate stop at my bottle shop.
Yeah.
You're just not going to find the same kind of niche offerings.
Number 12 and 11 kind of run together for me. Sam's Club and Costco. I feel like, yes, wildly different stores. I think Costco's better. But the beer selection, nah, I mean, actually, that's a lie. Costco, I did get those Vorsteiners. Those packs.
Yeah, that's
so a little
right.
better. I think where Costco comes in is they have some more random things sometimes. They're like, we'll randomly have this, and it's like a decent amount. Otherwise, they're just like a lot of mixed pack or popular beers. It's funny, like Sam's Club the other day, I was looking just to grab like a pack of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and they didn't have Pale Ale, but they had the Sierra Nevada Hazy. A little thing, hazy mix pack, in there, or like little, the whatever little thing mix pack is.
The little thing, yeah. Yeah, there's also like the Kirkland brand beer at Costco, which if you've ever been to Costco, they have Kirkland brand everything. I think you can get like Kirkland golf sets, Kirkland clothes. I mean, it's everything.
Even that store Kirkland's is within Kirkland. <It's>,
the actual Kirkland. But they have like there's a variety pack apparently of like craft beer from the Kirkland signature brand that again is made by Gordon Biersch.
I never have seen the Kirkland branded beer actually when I've been there. I've not seen it in stores.
So
maybe it's select locations.
It looks like according to this, it's in their Tasting Tables article actually, tastingtable.com. So this is a few years old, but depending on your locale, if you're out west, it's Gordon Biersch, but out east, I think they have they have Matt's Brewing, which is in Utica. So, FX Matt.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. So depending on where you are, like that also may determine the availability of the Kirkland craft beer.
Yeah, and I will say one other positive for Costco is they carry those beer advent calendars, which we've talked about a couple times on the podcast.
Yeah, that is a nice one.
That's a nice touch.
Yeah, and I kind of foreshadowed number 10 earlier, but Lidl, which is a German-based store, so
just like Aldi.
Yeah, they opened up in Greenville a few years ago, and it's been doing really well. I've noticed if you've ever driven out to the beach from here, from Greenville to if you're going out to the beach, if you go through near like I think New Bern, North Carolina, there was an Aldi, and you can see
we're
the
closed.
Remnants of it because like it's closed down now. But
or
like
Lidl.
Lidl. Sorry, thank you. So. Like the Lidl building, it just has its own unique kind of look. I think they're all kind of built.
They're like
to look
hangar
a certain
style.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tall ceilings, a lot of glass on the outside. But you can just tell that's what was there, even though all the signage is taken off. So I don't know why that one didn't succeed because I think our Lidl is awesome. They've got really good pricing, a lot of good like little trinkets and things. I've gotten two skillet pans that I love, and they were like 10, 12 bucks a piece. So like nonstick. And they're not even like the like cheap coating stuff that's going to flake off after you scrape it.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Just a little
Teflon.
And
a little seasoning.
Yeah.
But they, again, have some of those like beers that are kind of Lidl branded, but they're...
The Craft Explorer selection.
Yeah. I was looking at that, and that was another thing that's been brewed by Foothills in Winston-Salem in the past. So it kind of seems like there's some breweries that take on the contract role, and they expand that to several different...
I was wondering why you could get a Foothills variety pack at Lidl, but nothing else. Yeah. Now I see. Another, you know, other thing about Lidl, I think, is they have a lot more German and Belgian beers on, you know, they have like super cheap, like German lagers and stuff, which are not bad. And they have like a Hefeweizen and some other things, just like pilsners and stuff that are like real cheap, but pretty decent. I mean,
yeah,
if you're anticipating what you're getting. But yeah, they've got a lot. They've got that Craft Explorer series, which has a whole like kind of a brand itself with a variety of styles and whatnot. But overall, yeah, pretty decent spot.
Yeah, and one thing that this article from TastingTable.com mentions is in 2021 they had entered a bunch of beers in the New York International Beer Competition, and they took home 11 medals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which I know, like that that Craft Explorer, the like Hot Blast IPA was like a bronze medal winner. So it's like a bit surprising that, you know, a grocery store kind of private label beer is taking home some hardware at beer competitions.
Yeah.
But also, you know, good for them.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. I mean, credit goes actually to the brewers, but like, I mean, they're collaborating and they probably have a team that is involved. And so.
Yeah, you want a collab?
Let's do a collab.
Let's do a collab. Meyer, did you have Meyer?
You know, it says it's like a Midwest-based thing, but it really wasn't where I was from in Iowa. It's kind of more out east and north of me, so I kind of just missed the curve or the kind of central hub for Meyer.
Yeah.
But I see it a lot in, like, videos, like bloggers and things on YouTube where they, like, go shopping, doing shopping trips. They go to Meyer, and I'm like, it looks like a cool store.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have apparently a really wide selection of different brands at Meyer too. This says they have nearly 125 different brands of all different beer styles as well. So, you know, kind of bummed we don't have something like that here, because that sounds really good. Although it may be on par with like our
Lowe's. I would say, Lowe's foods. Yeah, I would think like probably Lowe's has more, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm actually really impressed with, I keep talking about it, but the Lowe's beer selection has been really impressive to me.
It's great. Yeah, it's better than like, I hate to say, but better than some of the bottle shops around town. Like,
yeah,
it's gotten to be, it's like crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, it comes down to like, they have the ability to work with more distributors without the, you know, they're already doing that, and so it's just much easier for them to tap into.
Big guy advantage.
Yeah.
Whole Foods is next, number 8. They've got, it's, you know, I think they've got a decent selection and whatnot. I haven't been to too many Whole Foods. We don't have one in town.
Yeah, we've got the kind of the Fresh Market, which I feel like is,
it's like the knockoff Whole Foods.
and they do, for their, you know, to their credit, they do actually have, you know, a decent little selection. It's not very big, but they do have some craft offerings, and you can get some like singles or get some like bombers. You can get some of those like, you know, tall cans if you're looking for just like some single beer purchases. But yeah, Whole Foods to me, I kind of thought of them as like one of those places where, if I remember, they actually had the same option to buy a beer while you're shopping.
Yeah.
They don't have a beer den, but they had like a small little bar that had like six or so taps at one of the Raleigh locations. So it's kind of a nice little perk.
What about Safeway? Did you have Safeway?
I do recognize Safeway, but I think of them more as like a pharmacy grocery store. There's something about like the Midwest where there's so many grocery stores. There's like, there's one chain called Baker's, which actually was like Kroger.
Mm.
And I think there's some Kroger down this way too in the South.
Yeah.
But I think of them, I don't know, the branding to me, it's like, it's just like a bigger Walgreens almost. It's like an that's why I think of those stores, like a Safeway to me is like just a bigger Walgreens.
And
they expand in the grocery department, but like, it just seems,
What we had at, we had a store, it was called like Farmhouse, which was kind of like one of those, but it was spelled like PHARM, like pharmacy, whatever. And so it was like a big Walgreens. But that Farmhouse place did renovation, became Far More, which was like kind of like made themselves a lot bigger, had a lot more stuff. They closed down a long time ago, but that's kind of what I think about with that.
Yeah. Well, and to the credit of them, that says that they do have a pretty big selection of craft beer, and some locations have over 400 total options. So inevitably, if you have that many options, they're going to be heavily favored in craft.
Yeah.
So
Bud Light Platinum,
Bud Light Zero,
Bud Light Light,
Bud Light Ice, or Bud Ice. Oh gosh. But, and next up is Publix. That's one location we do have here.
Yes.
So
I don't know if I've ever bought too much beer, but they do thinking about the aisle, they've got a pretty decent selection. Big old cooler full of like craft. Not necessarily focused on like North Carolina or anything where we're at, but a lot of like the major craft beer brands you can buy there.
Yeah. A lot of variety packs, things like that.
Definitely like better selection than your Walmart, those kind of things. A little bit better of an option. But the next one, I think Wegmans is a real heavy hitter from the beer department.
This had to be up high. I was going to be disappointed if it wasn't.
Yeah, so it's funny enough, so I'm from upstate New York, but where I was, we were east of where all the Wegmans were. So Wegmans coming from Rochester, New York, and actually making their way down to North Carolina. Closest one here is in Raleigh for us, which we stop there every once in a while. But they have a pretty large selection of beer. Really heavy focus on North Carolina beer, the whole section dedicated to that. And then if you're looking for certain like bottle releases, like usually the Bourbon Counties and stuff, we'll buy there because that's where they've got. But just a decent selection. Overall, people like love Wegmans.
Yeah, I think y'all kind of turned us on to that. Jen probably knew about it from living in Raleigh, but I didn't realize until I went for the first time, like, the selection in there is really impressive.
Well, they actually only opened up, like, 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not even been that long that they've been in Raleigh. Yeah.
Wow.
They've really, the expansion down in North, like, it was, like, a Western New York thing exclusively for a while.
Yeah. They're, speaking of exclusive, the next one, number four on the list is HEB, which really is like a Texas thing, and like they have some locations in Mexico, it appears, but it's kind of just a Texas staple, and you know, they're known for being just like a large supermarket, but the styles there, they're definitely lean towards like the region. I feel like this, you know, a lot of things that are kind of popular in the South, but they also have some, looks like maybe some Lone Star States beer, which I don't know if that's like a Southern brand or...
must be Texas brand. But and then they've got Scheinerbach, Lone Star, Independence, Native.
All those beers listed, it's like definitely leaning towards Texas pride, you know, so...
Yeah.
But I think I've seen... I've heard of the HEB brand. I didn't realize it was exclusive to the state of Texas or mostly exclusive there. And then, like, it kind of branches out a little bit.
Little known fact, HEB stands for Howdy, Everybody.
Is that really?
No.
I mean,
it could, but I have no idea.
Although then it'd be kind of like, well, everybody's one word, so why did you...
Everybody. Albertsons. Did you have Albertsons?
I do recognize Albertsons. What's funny is I used to think of Albertsons as like a paint store. But I remember like some jingles when I was a kid. There were some commercials for Albertsons. And the only part I remember is like the tagline, Albertsons, it's your store. And that's all I remember.
And that's all I have to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that. But yeah, apparently it's on par with like a Safeway. One of those kind of, or like a Kroger, just this like kind of Midwest.
Speaking of Kroger, this list is number two by this list.
Yeah, that was actually just a bit of a surprise because I've been to Kroger's and it's not for beer.
No.
I wouldn't think of them any better than like a Wegmans or, I mean, I wouldn't even think of it even better than like a Trader Joe's or something. I mean,
that's nuts.
For them to be two is a bit of a surprise, but it says they have, you know, over 300 different beer SKUs. So, I mean, a lot of different options there, a lot of import and craft beers too, so that is a bit of a shock according to a tasting table.
As is number one.
Yeah.
Giant Eagle, which is a regional grocery chain in Indiana, Maryland, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. So we have no idea about this. But they said that they've got a lot of good things, including food, but they just have a ton of beers apparently. I couldn't speak to that. You know, and so a lot of this list didn't super resonate with me, you know, just because there's a few of them on here that I'm like, yeah, I could see that. But in our area, there's, you know, we've got a couple grocery store chains. Like we mentioned, Lowe's Food probably reigns number one right now, even though they've only been open for less than a month at this point. Crazy just how much beer they have, and North Carolina beer, like you were saying, they've got a huge selection. and on top of the Beer Den. But then other stores, like usually we you know, would go to like Harris Teeter as like number two for grocery store beer. They'd have a big selection usually. And then the other chains like Food Lion, Walmart, that kind of stuff, all about the same from that front. But
yeah. And there's, I just feel like, yeah, this list was a bit surprising for things that were included and then some things that I think were left off. Like notably Lowe's Foods.
Yeah, for real.
Like, where's it at?
Where is it?
Maybe we just raved about it.
Small enough chain that it's not on this. Yeah. Or I think this list is probably just biased by location.
Yeah.
It seemed to have a lot of stores that were Midwest or, you know.
I think there's probably something to be said about the number of locations, the regions that are represented. So, you know, if it's kind of a more of a niche market, like maybe the Lowe's is kind of, you know, really exclusive to our area. And so it doesn't really apply. There's definitely not 400 locations like an HEB. So,
yeah. And, you know, we actually spent more time talking on that topic than I thought. So we may need to make a part two out of the popular grocery store beers. I think that could be a good topic on its own for us to talk about. But I think one thing we should rank grocery stores on or just talk about, we've mentioned a little bit with the Beer Den and Whole Foods having that bar area, but there are some chains of grocery stores that do have beer and other drinks for on-site consumption, with some of them even having full bars serving cocktails and whatnot, which is kind of wild to me. Like, okay, yeah, beer and wine, yeah, but then like a full service bar. Can you imagine like going to the grocery store and just like, can I get 3 shots of tequila? Sir.
I feel like that was an attempt to like appease every man that goes begrudgingly to the grocery store with their wife. Just like, I'm gonna go, but I'm gonna get drunk first.
I'm getting hammered and you can't stop me.
I will say, I mean, the first time we went to the Lowe's Foods here in the open, we grabbed a beer and like went around while we were shopping.
Yeah.
And it just feels so liberating to like have a beer while you're going through the aisles perusing everything, and then, you know, halfway through the beer you're like, huh, why did we get all this stuff?
Yeah, and they're like, you got me, you son of a gun.
They're like, we're going to give you a decent price on this beer and let you shop with it because we know the return on investment is really good.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really genius.
It is. And so the first time I encountered having a beer while grocery shopping was actually at a Lowe's Food, but it was in Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. And I thought that was cool. They had the Beer Den, all that stuff. Thought it was pretty cool. Then we went to Whole Foods in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that. And then this you know, opened up. But other than that, not encountered too many options. But, you know, Lowe's Food, Whole Foods on the list. Apparently Publix has several, Florida locations that allow it.
Yeah, they have a I think it's called Pours.
Yeah.
Is their, they're branded. This is kind of like their equivalent Beer Den.
Yeah.
I wish ours had it. Because clearly it's capable. They could have it, but I don't know at this point if they're able to kind of retrofit that into their store without, you know, kind of impacting another section of the store that's already set up. So we may not ever see that here.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about Albertsons. That's on the list as a place that does it. So Publix, Whole Foods, Albertsons. Apparently Kroger has some locations
that
do that as well. Hmm.
Yeah, the beer on tap at Kroger. So there's I'd imagine if we went to Myrtle Beach, that Kroger probably had on-site consumption, and I just didn't see it, because Myrtle Beach definitely is a town where, I mean, you mentioned like that's the first Lowe's Foods that you had a Beer Den experience with. You know, it's a beach town. It's like a vacation spot. It makes sense to be like,
they're going to try to sell alcohol any facet.
Every place you can sell it, you should sell it. And
elementary schools.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And also, I mean, they have a lot of stores down that way. So between the Kroger's, the Lowe's Food, I think they have a Costco down there. Yeah, definitely makes sense just to like have that. I'm surprised Costco doesn't have like in-store drinking or,
like, yeah,
having their own bar. I mean, especially for a store that big.
Yeah, because some locations have their liquor store, Which, I mean, this is all going to be state liquor law dependent right. and things like that, but it's just funny which ones choose which areas to do those sorts of things in. Especially like the full service bar thing, that's kind of crazy to me. But there are states where you can buy liquor at the grocery store as it like within intermingled in the shelves. So
yep. Midwest, well, at least in Iowa you can, and Nebraska.
Just go buy, you know,
yeah.
milk, eggs, vodka.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to make two trips to get all your groceries?
I just thought that made me think about the SpongeBob episode, the Smitty Van Warpen Man Jensen, where like Mr. Krabs is hanging the oh. the ghost that he drew on the thing, but at first it's like
the shopping list. Oh, I'm a ghost.
And then also that commercial. There was some commercial for some product, but like if you ordered, you it came with like a free recording device. It was like recorded small clips. And it was like, oh, you can record like a shopping list. And the lady was like, milk. Eggs, something like I don't remember what it was, but it just sticks out in my mind.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, now it's like our phones can do that if you want to make a little voice memo or something.
No, anything. Like our phones have replaced so many devices. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think I don't gripe too much about the cost of phones anymore, because it's like it is a miniature computer in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It can record things. It has. It's a camera. It. Text calls,
transactions,
like everything can be on there. And it's like, well, if you want to have something that convenient, it's going to cost a bit.
Yeah. So. It's, I mean, one of the most widely used tools we have right now.
And yeah.
It's one of the most powerful tools. So,
I mean, sure, they could make it a little bit cheaper for us, but yeah. you know, they're going to line their pockets first, but that's not even worth talking about.
Wow, Nick, yeah. thanks for bringing it down.
Bringing in politics and economic issues.
Economics.
We're an economics podcast now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of economics, nothing to do with economics, but Elsie's not here, but she's here in spirit with an Elsie's pick of the week. You know, she bought, actually, you know, talking about grocery store beers, one of the things on that list, I'll give a little foreshadowing for the next episode, but Allagash White was on there. And I, as I was reading that article, and then I went to go grab the Elsie pick, she had got a like cardboard six pack Allagash White that she had put them in.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's
funny. So they're hidden from my view, so I can just grab a can, not looking, put it into a Frost Buddy koozie. I have no idea what's in that can right there.
Yeah. Maybe at some point we'll get a sponsor for Elsie Pick of the Week, and that'll fund her her cost for getting
the
random beer picks for us. But it is now time for Elsie's Pick of the Week.
Nick, assume the position.
Oh, no. Where's my glass?
My glass?
I found it.
My glass.
They won't have my brand, my specialize. Just look. My brand. That's another great commercial.
I know.
That's another all-time great commercial. My brand.
Was it for 1-800-CONTACTS?
I think so, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's not even a business anymore.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Bought by Walgreens.
Big pharmacy. Taking a big pharmacy.
Big pharmacy coming to take it.
Okay.
A little peachy on the schnoz or something.
Yeah, very fruity, very...
Maybe not peachy, maybe berry.
Very fruity, very juicy on the nose. A little bit tart. I'm thinking this is a...
Yeah, if I had to guess off the smell of fruited sour.
Yep, I'm leaning that way. But yeah, it's a...
Oops, dipped my nose in the Ooh, foam.
Really, yeah, like fleshy fruit, like a peach, some stone fruit, fleshy fruit, whatever you want to call it. I don't know which is actually correct. But, oh man, it's
almost some like berry, like a little bit of berry, I think, getting to.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to be one of those beers where we're going to find out what it is and... I won't have guessed any of the fruits correctly.
Wow, I just tasted it. Different than I was expecting. Very sweet. Very sweet. And not tart at all, so maybe a fruit beer.
Okay.
Also, I'm looking at, have you taken a peek at yours yet? But Mine is like extreme opaque. Yours is pretty opaque as well.
Yeah.
I got the bottom of the can, so I didn't know if I had more particulate matter.
Looks like caramel or like butterscotch syrup.
Yeah, super. You can see some chunks floating in it.
There's some tightly packed head, though. The bubbles are pretty foamy, pretty thick and viscous.
Very persistent head.
Wow. Yeah, talk about... We've had a couple of these recently where what we smell and what we taste. Like last episode with the that sour brown ale.
Yeah.
Smelled much different than it actually tasted.
Mm-hmm. Which this is like wildly fruity. Like, I don't even know. Man, this is tricky.
It is. And like typically when you have a fruit beer, it doesn't look like this.
No, they usually look a little lighter.
Yeah.
Versus this looks like a haze boy.
I'm almost wondering if this is like a fruited wheat or something like that.
Could be.
I'm trying to think like what would give it this color also, but also like not add anything in the sour department. Because it's sour, it's just because of like a tart fruit flavor, like maybe some strawberry.
But yeah, no detectable like acidity on the tongue or anything like that. The funny thing, like, so if you like, if this was sour, I would say like, oh, it's a fruited like lactose sour, you know. Some of those ones, maybe there's no like cheesecake, this or that, something like that. It's just so heavily fruited. That's where I would lean towards, but.
Oh, man, I'm having a really tough time with it. Yeah, because I feel like if it, I'm kind of second guessing myself now, because if it was a wheat beer, even underneath all of that fruit punch in the mouth, it would give you some of that kind of like stereotypical wheat flavor. You know, some of the yeast would probably peek through a little bit. You get kind of like that flaked oak or
flaked oak.
Flaked oat flavor.
That'd be a new adjunct.
I don't know. Maybe it is just a sour, but
it's just missing the sour component.
And you know what else?
These beers were purchased within the last 2 weeks, so they're not like they're old unless they sat on the shelves at the purchasing location forever.
I'm also getting a little bit of like apple, and like sometimes some apple can be a little bit tart,
yeah.
But like it's that
that's a fair statement.
That kind of crisp, juicy flavor of like a Macintosh or is it Gala apple or Gala? I don't know.
Have you been to the Gala?
The Met Gala.
The Met Gala apple. All right. What's your guess? Let's lock it in.
You know what? Let me get one more drink. I really am getting more apple.
Yeah.
Is this a cider?
Could it be a cider? Guess. It possibly could be, but I would.
Like a, it's
that'd
a
be
fruit,
really
like
throwing
it's a cider with like some other fruit flavors in there.
Maybe. Oh, man, I don't know what to go with here. I'm going to say...
I'm going to go with cider. I mean, and I feel like I don't know if I've ever guessed
it as
cider.
Fruit beer. We'll see.
Hopefully one of us got it. Oh, is that Southern Pines?
It is Southern Pines. It is a fruit medley... Wait, what's the actual name? Tropical Chic Fruit Punch Sour?
So it is a sour.
Fruit medley... Orange, tropical cheek, fruit punch, sour, pineapple, guava, passion fruit.
Wow.
Interesting. So this actually has a really high ABV, 8.9%.
Jeez.
Much higher than I would
have thought. Wow. For a sour?
Yes.
Which isn't very sour.
Yeah, there's no, it's, that's, I think the, my thing
it
is
it smells
like,
kind of sour, but it doesn't taste sour.
No, there's like no, unless it's just so overwhelmed by the sweetness, it's like... Yeah, fruit medley, orange, pineapple, guava, passion fruit.
Hmm. But you know, maybe that alcohol content, that higher ABV is also contributing some sweetness that kind of prohibits the sourness coming through as much. I'm disappointed there's no apple in this. But I think...
there's pineapple.
Pineapple. The fact that we had so many different fruits kind of coming in, I guess that does kind of land with the fruit punch sour aspect of it. So they did nail that, but
yeah. And it's funny, 'cause I don't get a ton of like tropical fruits though. Like it's supposed to be like fruit punch, but
yeah,
I mean, I guess maybe I could see the fruit punch, but
yeah, 'cause it smelled sweeter, kind of like a peach or, you know, something of that kind of variety. Like I could maybe see it being some kind of like melon, but
it doesn't have that tropical, like when I think of fruit punch, you know, I like think of,
yeah,
it just has that particular flavor.
It's hard to describe. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the first sip was like one of the most interesting first sips I've had of a beer as of late. I didn't really know what to make of it.
Yeah.
Tropical chic fruit punch sour. Wow. A lot going on there. It wasn't bad. It's just, my gosh, for a 9% beer, basically, in a 16-ounce can, it would go down pretty easy if you're a fan of, like, fruited beers.
Yeah. Here's some Untappd reviews. 1.5.
1.5.
1.5 with the comment of nasty. Nasty.
Nasty.
This one's a 4. Not bad. A little bitter, but overall pretty good flavor profile. Somebody bought it from the Beer Den.
Hey.
They didn't say anything about it. Oops, I accidentally toasted this random guy's check-in.
Oh, that's good.
Let's untoast that. Somebody gave it a 0.75.
Oh, I mean, that's a little harsh.
This person said very papaya forward, and I'm here for it. But there's no papaya in it. I like it. Well, I mean, I was saying it was berry scented, so
I should check it in and write. Didn't like it. Too much apple flavor. What?
Oh man, not more ale than lager.
It's more fruit than more sour.
Oh, this person wrote 8.9%. Me likey.
Tommy likey. Tommy want wingy.
Oh man. But yeah, I mean, LC coming in, tricking us again with some of these styles, you know.
Gosh, she's gotten too good at this.
We're on the right track, but we're like, it doesn't taste sour.
I know, and I agree. It would have been hard for me to land on sour other than the fact that there's just not a lot of other styles that have that much fruit character.
Yeah,
exactly. Like the fruit beer was a good guess.
But usually those are not even that sweet. Yeah.
I feel like we sometimes don't want to play it safe because the safe bet is not usually the right one.
Yeah.
But in this case, a safe bet would have
got
been
us there.
A good guess.
But dang. So. Well, what'd you learn today, Nick?
Oh gosh, I learned a lot about the 10-cent beer at the Cleveland Indians game in 1974. That was a fun little story.
That was an eye-opening experience, yeah. Wasn't it?
I mean, as long as nobody got hurt. Which I'm sure a lot of people got hurt, but like, it's like somebody died. I don't know if anyone died. It's kind of a cool story to look back on, but lesson learned, don't offer beers at that low of a price and then also let people take 6 at a time.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Rein it in a little bit.
But yeah. If you're going to do some.
Feel free to sell them that cheap.
Yeah.
You can
limit 2 per customer. That could work.
Fine. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll get a ton of sales and yeah.
But
what did you learn?
I think that I learned that Peroni is just the PBR of Italy. It's kind of my big takeaway here.
It's PBR, but your hands are pinched.
Yeah, the PRBR. Yes. But
some pibber.
Pibber, yeah. So, next episode, you can guess what it's about. But we'll be talking about go-to grocery store beers
to go shopping. Time to go shopping.
Maybe we'll pick a few up for our next episode. But if you like this episode, make sure to rate it on your favorite podcast platform. Send us a message on Instagram at Secondary Fermentation. Send us a lovely electronic mail at eastcarolinabeer@gmail.com. Check out our website, eastcarolinabeer.com, and check us out in episode 84. We'll see you then. Cheers.
Cheers.